For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on Unlimited Welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on Unlimited Welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to the Resident Report, brought to you by Monster Energy. Hope you enjoy the show right here on Built in Buffalo YouTube, X, and Facebook. Let's freaking go. Training camp is upon us. Today was day four of training camp. Today is July 28th. We are officially in Leo season. Let's go. Your boy, as he turns 40 in a few weeks on August 10th. Let's go. So, you know, when you throw another week, if you want to throw me a happy birthday, let's go. I appreciate that. But yeah, guys, you know, we're in training camp. St. John Fisher University, used to be St. John Fisher College. My mother graduated from there. And my mother, even though she doesn't really like football like that, she is one of the reasons why I'm a Bills fan. It's crazy because she would always buy me Bills stuff as a kid, even before I was really into football. And you know what? Being from Rochester, it stuck with me. So, Mom, thank you. I love you. Shout out to Mama Monero, that other freaking Puerto Rican. If you guys get to know my sense of humor, you'll know where I get it from if you ever met my mom. She's crazy. I love her. But, guys, welcome to the show. Red Zone Report right here on the Built in Buffalo YouTube, X, and Facebook channels. However you're watching, I thank you so much for being here and being a part of the show. And we are going to get into the wide receivers mostly on the show. Now, we might probably cover some else, you know, maybe cover some defensive players, some camp battles, some things that we've heard from, you know, the media and the beat reporters who are on site. I don't live in Buffalo, so I got to get my information from outside sources. And so I watch the other Bills content creators and I support them and I, you know, drop a like on their videos. So if you guys support them, awesome. If you don't, you're getting it from me. Appreciate you guys being here. Now, some pleasant surprises coming from the wide receivers. Some pleasant surprises. And I'm here for it. And so I did a little slideshow, and the slideshow is just a picture of the wide receiver. And then I'm going to go into it. I'll be in the side over here when I do it. And these side things will be gone. But, man, I cannot wait till the first preseason game so we can see some of these guys. Because I think the receivers, since a lot of them weren't here before, are going to see some time in that preseason. I don't know if we'll see Josh Moore out there or not, but I would assume so. So, yeah, it's going to be great. It's going to be great to finally see these guys and enjoy what they're doing out there on the field and be able to see, like, who's really making that noise? Who's really going to make this team? Who's really out here to make the Buffalo Bills a Super Bowl contender? Again, we got some pleasant surprises and I love it. And so we're going to get into it right about now. So let's go ahead and take this down here and let's boom. Talk about these gentlemen who are on the team, new, old, and indifferent. Pads come on tomorrow. I see the comment, Scott. Scott Blakely back in the house. Let's go. The blue and red is on Friday at 5:30 p.m. I won't be able to make it. I had tickets, and I gave them away to a buddy of mine, Jacob Spears from Spear Bills Talk. He's a good young man who I talk to regularly, and I spoke to him today, and he was pretty hyped when I was able to get the tickets and then give them to him. You know, it's going to be awesome. And he couldn't get tickets to training camp, even though I believe they're free. I said, well, the red and blue tickets, but I made sure to reach out and get him tickets. And then I transferred them over to him. I helped him sign up for or help him figure out how to sign up for his Ticketmaster so that way he can receive them. And now he's on his way to the Red and Blue on August 2nd. So I'm happy for him. The M-Pads. Heck yeah, I can't wait. Wonderful. Hey, the team is going to be wonderful, and I just hope to be a good person. So let's go. Keon for Rookie of the Year. Look, I hope so. I hope so. He wouldn't be the first second-round wide receiver to be Rookie of the Year. But he's got some competition. He's got the Roma Dunzes out there. He's got the Malik Nabers out there. He's got, you know, Marvin Harrison Jr. out there. He's got some guys out there who are going to be competing for Rookie of the Year along with him, along with wide receivers, or excuse me, quarterbacks like Caleb Williams. We'll see what happens, but I think he's got a good chance, especially if it, you know, he turns out the way I think he's going to. The Bills training for the choke job. Oh, cool story, bro. Welcome to the show. Must be a Dolphins fan or something. I keep hearing that from them as if they won a playoff game in the last 24 years. But, you know, I digress. What's up, my Buffalo brothers and sisters? Welcome back, Joey Hatch. Love having you here. And Mr. Marco Antonio, you go ahead and stick around. Camp underway. Things are getting going, and it's exciting. Football is just all around the corner. Yes, right. That's right. 12th Man Mafia in the house. Let's go. Marco's back in here. Allen with more receptions than Super Bowl trophies. Yeah, that's every quarterback ever. It's a silly point to try and make. Ooh. Oh, Jesus. Wow. All right, here we go. We're getting into this. Keon Coleman. So I typed these up earlier today. I was doing the research and watching videos and reading articles. And so Keon Coleman in camp has been stepping up. The rookie's been stepping up big. TDs in the red zone drill, toe taps on the sideline, and body in corners. He may be the number one wide receiver by the start of the season. And he has exclusively worked with Josh Allen and the first team offense. And he has been impressive. He's been going up and over DBs. He's been making tiptoe catches on the sidelines like Gabe Davis, except he's been catching almost everything thrown his way. I think he had one drop, and it was on like a straight-up position drill, and he dropped one there. But everything else, he's caught. Haven't heard a bad thing about him except for that one drop, and it was really early. I think it was day one in camp. And so Keon Coleman is out here showing out, doing, you know, what he's doing, and I'm happy for him, you know. Like, I'm glad, because Keon Coleman is showing us that he's putting in that work. And when he was asked about, hey, you and Josh Allen have incredible chemistry. How is that a thing? Like, how are you so knowledgeable of the playbook thus far? How are you doing so well already? And he had a very simple answer for why he knows the playbook so well and why he knows, you know, the reads so well. And his answer was, I study. So for anybody who thought that his playful nature meant that he wasn't serious, you are dead wrong. Keon Coleman is dead serious about his career. Keon Coleman is here to shine and to win a Super Bowl. He's here to help this team win a Super Bowl. He's on a rookie contract, so he's not going to cost as much until his fifth year. I'm excited for this young man right here. This man right here, prior to the season, you know, many people were like, keep this guy off my team. Keep him off my team. Do you know what? He's proving the doubters wrong in camp thus far. Let's keep it to that. In camp thus far. Camp is one thing. Practice is one thing. Getting to the regular season and doing it there is quite another. But I like what I'm seeing thus far from Keon Coleman. And I got some takes. I got some takes here. But Keon Coleman is showing real potential early in camp. That's a good sign. Let's see. Looks like Claypool, two ankle injuries. I heard he got nicked up, but I also heard he was just fine. So we'll see what happens. See, how many trophies do the Bills have? I lost count. Yeah, you should lose count. The trolls are in the house. Let's go, trolls. See, good evening, Mafia brother. Let's go. All right. Dolphins have way more to worry about as they locked in Tua for the next 4 years. Yeah, that $212 million. They're paying that bum freaking $53 million a year. Get out of here. Miss Nance, hello, Izzy. Hope all is well. It's all good, Miss Nance. Happy to have you back in here. Another usual, you know, customer here with Built in Buffalo, as she is the mother of our president, Mr. Lance Nelson. Miss Nancy, thank you very much for being here again. Say, I'm so ready for the season to start. What if any battles do you anticipate to really heat up? Safety is the big one. See, Patrick Mahomes has a lot of interceptions too, and he's a Super Bowl champ. So, yeah, here we go. All right, let's see. I have to be a little more selective with comments, otherwise I'm going to be here for 3.5 hours. Let's see. Oh, trophy-less team. Yep, come on, troll. Keep on hitting it. I like it. For now, that's the answer. Let's see. I study the playbook. I know what I'm doing. Just got to execute. Those are the words of Keon Coleman. Thank you, Joey Hash, for the exact freaking quote. Bro, were you in this podcast, loser? Bro, why are you in this podcast, loser? Oh, you're talking about the Dolphins fan. Got it. He can be here. It's fine. You know, the haters help. You know, that counts as a view, baby. All We'll Eat is becoming a reality. That's right. Everybody's going to, and we're going to get through these wide receivers. And I put the tight ends in here too, just, you know, for giggles. Facts, but go Buffalo Bills. That's right. Only problem is the head coach. Fake punt to Hamlin. Okay, so that's one play. And he's had a few gaffes, and so does every other head coach ever in the NFL. He's got to learn from it, but yeah, I don't think he's a problem at all. He's one of the winningest head coaches in the league right now, so I'll take it. Is Keon already making us forget Diggs? He's not making us forget Diggs, but he's definitely making us more comfortable with the loss of Diggs. Heading to Buffalo on Friday. You got it, Ms. Nance. I hope that you guys have fun there. See, Keon, a student, soon to be a Super Bowl winner. With JA17 MVP. Let's go, Scott Bellett Blakely. Let's go, Josh Allen. Just for and giggles, give me your all-time Bills team offensively. My all-time Bills team. Remind me this closer to the end of the broadcast. But you know what? To heck with it. I'll see you. So I got Josh Allen at quarterback. At running back, give me LeSean McCoy and Thurman Thomas. At fullback, give me Sam Gash. Wide receiver, give me Eric Moles, Andre Reed, Stephon Diggs, Stevie Johnson, Lee Evans. I'll go five there. Tight end, give me, as of right now, Jerry Reimersma, Dawson Knox, and hopefully soon to be Dalton Kincaid. I need a little bit more from him. Offensive line, give me Deion Dawkins, Joe DeLamalure. I don't know a whole lot of the offensive linemen from the past, but Reuben Brown, man. Yeah, I'm going to have to stick with that as of right now. But that, as of right now, that's the list. I can't remember that many offensive linemen. They're all blown through my head, but we've had so many bad ones that they're kind of clouding my mind, like Miller and freaking Ford. And those guys are clouding my head. See, Coleman is the youngest wide receiver from all of the rookies this just turned 21, 6'4", 220 pounds, and has amazing high ceiling. So I wouldn't worry about Coleman. I'm not worried about him one bit. What up, Junie? Eric Wood. There we go. That's another one. Eric Wood. Andy Levitre is another guy I really like, but he only played for us for 4 years. Thanks for reminding me, saying Eric Wood, because that reminded me of Andy Levitre taking the same round, draft. See, DeMar Hamlin played the first team again. Yeah, I think they're alternating them every practice. So it was Hamlin, then it was Edwards, then it was Bishop, now it's Hamlin again. So it looks like they're going 1-2-3, 1-2-3, 1-2-3. We'll see. But Richie Incognito's and Dawkins, yeah, they're on the list for offensive linemen. I thought I said Dawkins, but I might have been wrong. Pete Metzelaars, yeah, he's another good tight end of all time. So I'll go that Reimersma, Metzelaars, and Dawson Knox for now. All right, so moving on to the next wide receiver on the list, because this will take forever if I don't. Curtis Samuel. Now, Curtis Samuel, interesting. Very interesting, because I think that he's one of the sneaky signings this year, right? And people must have forgot what he did in Carolina when he had like 850 yards receiving, and then he had like another 200 yards on 40 carries. He had 5 yards a carry as a wide receiver on end arounds, coming out of the backfield, whatever trick plays ended up in rushing yards. He was productive under Joe Brady and Teddy Bridgewater. And he hasn't played with a quality quarterback since Teddy Bridgewater, and Teddy Bridgewater being a quality quarterback, it's a bit of a reach. I think he was good. I think that the knee injury really stifled his career, and I think that Teddy Bridgewater really could have been something had he not blown his ACL that one year. Even though he played for the Dolphins, you know, I don't hold that against somebody. You know, you go where you wanted is what it is. But Teddy Bridgewater, I think, was a fair quality quarterback. And with him and having other guys around him like DJ Moore and Chosen Anderson, who was basically just run straight and catch the ball down the field, he had a very productive year. And I think that in this offense where everybody eats, just like in that offense in Carolina where everybody ate, you're going to see a very productive Curtis Samuel. So I'm going to put up my what I typed up about him now, and that is that Curtis Samuel, day one was kind of quiet for him, right? The first day of training camp was kind of quiet for him, but he picked it up on Friday and was the top wide receiver targeted that day. I believe it was Friday. Pretty sure it was Friday, day two. Today's day four, so yeah, Friday was day two. One of our primary wide receivers for sure. He's likely our wide receiver 2 or 2B. Unless Coleman's the 2 or 2B and Samuel or Shakir will be 1. But right as of right now, I think Keon is on track to become wide receiver 1 in this offense. And so this is what I think as of right now. This is subject to change. And luckily next Sunday, we'll see if anything does change. And I will talk about anything that may have changed in my mind next week. Dario Perez. Samuel has had 60 to 65 catches, 800 plus yards the last 3 years with average or below average QBs. So what do you think he will do with JA17? I think that he is going to be excellent with Josh Allen. With 4.3 speed, yeah. There was a catch he made 25 yards on the field on a crosser, and no one could keep up with him. No one could keep up with him. And that's saying a lot, because now with a quarterback like Josh Allen who can zip it in there, if no one can keep up with him, he can zip it in there before he gets to the sideline, and he can turn up field. He's going to have a lot more opportunities to turn up field in this offense. And so I think that Curtis Samuel is really going to have that potential. See, I think he's a downgrade of Diggs, and Coleman is an upgrade of Davis. I could agree with that. I could agree with that. I think that our wide receiver core this year is going to be way more well-rounded, because last year our wide receiver was really heavy with talent at the top, with Diggs, Davis, and Shakir, and then everybody else was kind of garbage. I mean, I think everybody would agree that after those three, you know, Sherfield, pretty garbage the whole year. You know, that Dolphins game was excellent. Thank you for that, Sherfield. That was a game-winning, you know, or a TD that put us in position to win that game. And same thing with Deontay Hardy. Thank you for that punt return. But overall, very quiet throughout the whole season. They weren't very good in this scheme. Under Brady and under Dorsey. So if you got guys who are on this team that weren't good under either one of the offensive coordinators, you got to move on. And so what do? Diggs' production dropped when Brady left. So what do? You get rid of Diggs, you trade him away, you get something for him before he's too old to get nothing for him, and you bring in a younger guy who is produced under the current offensive coordinator, a la Curtis Samuel. Now, Diggs is a better overall wide receiver than Curtis Samuel. Yes. Yes, he is. Anybody who thinks otherwise, you're failing yourself. However, in this scheme, I think Curtis Samuel is a better fit for this team. And I don't think that's too far of a reach. I think that's pretty accurate. I think it's pretty accurate. Joe Brady will use Samuel all over the place. He will. He's going to be everywhere. And that's one thing that Joe Brady said about wide receiver in this scheme. It's positionless. And we'll discuss that a little bit more later too. But yeah, I really like the signing, especially now, of Curtis Samuel, because Curtis Samuel is a guy who has produced in this scheme. He knows this scheme. He didn't have to come in here and learn the whole playbook. He had to learn little things that Joe Brady's picked up along the way since Carolina. But overall, he knows the terminology. He knows exactly where to be, what to do when he's there. And he knows what to do when the ball is in his hands. Yards after contact is pretty good with this kid. So I really do enjoy Curtis Samuel. I hope that he gets used properly. And I'm 99% sure he will be. I'm pretty sure he's going to have another 800-plus yard season. He's going to score touchdowns for the Bills. He's going to be out there doing the work that has needed to be done to get us to the Super Bowl. I cannot wait. He's going to play a lot like Debo for San Fran. And it's crazy because, you know, they both have that Samuel last name, even though, you know, one went to South Carolina and – or did Debo go to South Carolina or did he go to Ole Miss? DK Metcalf went to South Carolina. A.J. Brown went to South Carolina. I'm pretty sure Debo went to South Carolina because DK and A.J. were the ones who were at Ole Miss with Dawson Knox. Curtis Samuel ran 4.3140. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. And so the next wide receiver on the list, we all know him. We all love him. He had a quiet rookie year, but his second year, he started to take off. He is a team player. He does not care what his contribution is as long as he's contributing to a victory, and that is Khalil Shakir. This man caught nearly everything thrown his way last year with an 87% completion percentage when targeted. That is one of the highest in the NFL last year, if not the highest. I've heard both of those, and I'm not going to say the highest because if I'm wrong about that, then I'm wrong, and I don't want to be wrong. So it is what it is. But Khalil Shakir, some of the surest hands we've seen, and in camp, they have stated that as well. And so here's what I've heard from the beat writers summarized. We are getting what most expected. Good routes, good hands, and steady Eddie. He's likely the 2A, 2B with Curtis Samuel. He's a guy you'll see on the outside, you'll see on the slot. If we run trips, him and Curtis Samuel will be in the slot often enough. And he's been a guy who has proven himself to deserve a higher, not pitch count, not snap count, but target share. He's earned a higher target share by being as, you know, productive as he was last year and progressing throughout the season. He's done what he needs to do. And so the next comment that I'm going to pull up, which is Dario Perez. Thank you for being here, Dario. He straight up outperformed Diggs the last 6 or 7 games. That's true. The last 6 or 7 games, he had half the targets, but he had more yards. He put up more yards and more touchdowns in those last 6 or 7 games. I believe Diggs had 1 and Shakir had 2. And then he outperformed Diggs in the playoffs too, which Diggs has never really performed in the playoffs. For us in Minnesota, he had that Minneapolis miracle, which was awesome. But the man had half the targets and more production. My man, Robbie, comes in here from 716 Sports. Hi, Izzy. I'm here. Go Bills. Welcome back to the show, Robbie. Happy to have you. Happy to have you, as always. I think Shakir is going to be a big integral part of this offense, you know. And that's for all these guys who I'm talking about, these top 3 or 4 guys. They're going to be big parts of this offense. And I think that, barring injuries, it's going to be impressive. I think it's going to be very impressive. Generally speaking, our wide receivers, we don't get a lot of wide receiver injuries. You know, every now and then you get like a nicked up Gabe with an ankle or Diggs, but they weren't never too injured to play. Never too injured to play. So now, Khalil Shakir. Hasn't been a lot of chatter about him, but the chatter I've heard is we're getting exactly what we expected from him. I'm very happy with it. Dario comes back, similar size to Diggs, and faster, better hands, younger, we are more than good. I don't know about better hands, but he does have hands that appear to be on par now. Diggs had some really good years when it came to catches. I'm talking about year 2, Shakir, so I wouldn't go that far yet, but I am on my way there. I'm on my way there. Diggs' playoff stats are terrible, especially in Buffalo. They are. I mean, granted, you know, in most of those playoff games, teams were doubling him and Gabe was eating, which is fine, but, you know, we weren't getting past the teams we needed to get past. All right, Brent Thompson, go Bills. Let's go, baby. And if he was going to be I think he is going to be to Josh like Beasley was to him. I honestly think that that's going to be more Curtis Samuel. But very possible. I think that Khalil Shakir is going to be what Isaiah McKenzie was supposed to be. That fast guy, and him and McKenzie ran the same 40 time, 4.42. But Shakir's bigger, stronger, and better hands. So I see him in some of that gadget role, but I also see him being more effective outside. I also see him being more effective catching the ball, especially in traffic. He's made some outstanding catches in traffic. And so I want to see much more of Khalil Shakir. I think we all do. How do you think we add up versus the Eagles? I got to bet that we Bills fans have a better record. I think that that's possible. It really depends on how their schedule plays out too. There are five games on our schedule that actually concern me, right? And that's Baltimore, Houston, San Francisco, the Rams, and the Lions. Three of those five games are out of conference. Two of them out of division. Like I'm not worried about the division like that. Like we win the division. That's what we do. And I think that the Bills are going to be fine this year. 12-5 to 14-3, I think is possible. I say 12-5 is more likely. I did my prediction, my way too early predictions a week and a half ago, and I took it to the most optimistic level, which was 14-3. Do I think that that's actually going to be it? No, probably not. But I think that the Bills will be fine. The Eagles have a pretty tough division. They got the Cowboys in there. Played them tough last year. They split on the season. The Commanders, I could imagine improving. If I'm correct, I remember they drafted Jaden Daniels, I think, right? They drafted a quarterback, I believe. And so, yeah, they drafted Jaden Daniels because they traded away their old quarterback to the Seahawks, I think. So, yeah. And when they did that, I thought they were going to take Drake May, but they took Daniels. So do we have a good enough team to get past the Chiefs this season? I think we have as good a chance as any other season. And so we've had a good chance to do it the last two seasons. I think that more lies upon Josh than the team around him. Granted, the team around him still has to do their freaking jobs. And last year we were like this close, and there's a couple of plays from specific players, Trent Sherfield dropping the ball, Stephon Diggs dropping the ball, Deion Dawkins not getting pushed into him. But Deion Dawkins overall, excellent last year. One or two plays can make a difference. And so that was just one. I don't want to, dump on Deion. I love Deion. So the snowman liveth and the snowman cometh. So I can't wait to see him dominate again this year. Happy we extended him. See, Shakir's Edelman 2.0 watch. I like that. I actually like that comparison. He's a little bigger than Edelman, but I like that. See, Shakir's yak is way better. Yes, it is. Shakir gets that yak. Khalil Shakir had 38 attempts and Diggs had 80 in the last 10 games. So you're all right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate you double checking for me. Yeah. Less than half, but close enough to say half, What's your thoughts on the O-line this season? We'll get into that closer to the end, but trying to keep the show about the receivers for now. But I will say this. I'm happy to hear that Cedric Van Pran Granger is getting some reps at guard. They're saying that they were saying before the draft that he is center only, and that's proving to not be true. He's playing some guard. Some guys are not really doing that well on the line. So if you ask me, the guys who make the team on the line as of now are going to be Deion Dawkins, David Edwards, Connor McGovern, Osiris Torrance, Spencer Brown, Ryan Vandermark, I'll say Cedric Van Pran Granger, and Grable has actually been playing quite a bit with the twos. I think I heard something about him playing with the ones a little bit. So he's actually exceeding expectations. And I don't know if I expect him to make the team, but probably Alec Anderson. I don't know if I expect Lyle Collins to make the team. I've been hearing some kind of he's missed a step kind of deal. So we'll see. Bobby Hall, let's go. Let's go, Bobby, in the house. Let's go. Seems like Shorter has fallen off, had high hopes for him. I think we all did. He's a big guy, chiseled out of granite. He's made some plays in camp. He's played a little bit with the ones, so we'll talk about that. We'll get to him. He's on the list. Guys who I didn't hear much of anything about are not going to be listed today, so we'll see. Izzy, you're a cool guy. Come on, man. You're the coolest, man. I appreciate it, Robbie. All right, so the next receiver on the list. Mac Hollins, Mr. No Shoes, Mr. Let the Hair Flow, feet are grounded, helps you release you know, the energy, you know, the negative energy, you know, which is what electrons are. They're negative energy. So he's not wrong about that. You know, when you ground something, the electrons flow towards ground. I'm an electronics technician, so I know exactly how that works. I don't know if everybody here does. I think most people who are electricians, electronic technicians, or anybody who works with electricity. So if you're a mechanic, you probably know that as well. You know, your car, your chassis is the ground, right? So if you ground something, the electricity flows towards ground. So he's not crazy. He's just eccentric. So Mac Hollins, welcome to the Bills. We can use a little bit of that spiritual energy that you bring to the team. And I think that a lot of the players are embracing that. What does our defensive line look compared to the league's best? I think that they're going to surprise some people. I think they'll be a top, you know, 15 to top 10 unit. But let's go ahead and get into the discussion of Mac Hollins, right? Mac Hollins, he's a big man doing what we expected. All right, we'll put that banner back up too. Big man doing what he expected. Heck of a blocker and also surprising as a pass catcher in camp thus far. Looks like a roster lock until proven otherwise. And that's my take on Mac Hollins. He's been catching everything thrown his way. He's been a glue guy. So he's been taking a leadership position. He looks the part. He plays the part. And he is such a positive influence on everybody around him. I believe he's from North Carolina. I know he played his college football at North Carolina. I'm going to look that up now. Mac Hollins. I see where this young, where he's 30. So he's not that young of a wide receiver. He's from Rockville, Maryland. So he's not from North Carolina, but he definitely played here. I'm guessing that some of that influence, because I live in North Carolina and I understand a lot of the Native Americans here take this kind of stance on things. He's a guy who wants to be positive with his team. And he wants to be a guy who makes a difference. And he doesn't care what that difference is, whether it's catching the ball, blocking, you know, cheerleading, whatever it is. He's a guy who's going to be here for it. He's going to be here to help the guys around him. He's going to help the guys to be better. And so I like Mac Hollins quite a bit. Like him quite a bit. I got to use some more Head and Shoulders. My head, I got some scratches on my head. See, McGovern better get his shotgun snaps down. Hey, he better. But, you know, he's got time. He's got time. It's been a while for him. He'll get there. That's what camp's for. See, Mac has never played with a QB of Josh Allen's talent or caliber. Yeah, he has not. Should be easy to catch, especially when you got JA17 throwing the ball. That's both easier and harder because, you know, the velocity of Josh Allen's ball. But sometimes you got to catch out of self-defense. See, Hollins and is the Bills' spirit animal. Yeah. See, Mac had a press conference today. I watched it, and that's where I got the whole, he said, you know, when you're barefoot, you're grounded. You know, the negative energy or electrons leave your body. There we go. See, not too far from me, Delaware. There you go, Bobby. Hey, I'm in North Carolina. I'm down close to what used to be Fort Bragg is now Fort Liberty. I hate the new name, but it is what it is. See, Marquez Valdez-Scantling seems to be lost in the sauce. Don't worry, we'll get to him too. See, let's talk about fan favorite Shorter. He's on the list. Don't worry, we'll get to him. But Mac Hollins, I think, is going to be a very positive influence on this offense. He'll get his chances, and I think that he is a guy who's going to be a contributor in more ways than just on the field. So thank you for being here, Mac Hollins. Thank you for choosing the Bills, because he could have gone somewhere else, probably for the same money, and just kind of coasted along. He decided to go to Buffalo and to go to a team that had a quarterback that is the quality and caliber of Josh Allen. I think he did the right thing. I think that Joe Brady is going to be able to use him very effectively. Next wide receiver on the list, Chase Claypool. Now, Chase Claypool is making big plays on the second team mostly. He's also been making some plays on the first team. So highlight with him, with the first team, was running the same play and route, made the play MVS couldn't make. That's right. So it was a play that they were running. Marquez Valdez-Scantling was out there. I believe it was a post corner. And he couldn't connect with Josh Allen. So he took a seat. Chase Claypool goes out there and makes that play. I believe him and Marquez Valdez-Scantling are in the competition with each other. I think that there's one roster spot to fight for between those two, and one of them will make the team. And in my humble opinion, I think that Chase Claypool is in better position to make the team than Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I think that Chase Claypool is a guy who is hungry because he fell off, but he's still young enough to recover from the fall. Right? It's not about, you know, how hard you fall or when you fall or who knocks you down. It's about you getting up off your ass and putting in the work to get back in the game, to get back in the fight, to get back in the fold, and to get back on a team. Chase Claypool is a guy who's done that so far in camp, in mini camp, and in training camp thus far. He's made some plays. He's had a good connection with Mitchell Trubisky, which is not totally shocking because he did start with him back in Pittsburgh 2 years ago when Trubisky first got there. And, you know, we'll see what happens here. I actually do like Chase Claypool. My brother-in-law just left from North Carolina from seeing his kids. Awesome, man. Awesome. I hope he had a good time with his babies. See, Claypool makes last roster spot on wide receiver depth chart. MVS is out. I think the same. As of right now, that's what I think, too. It's early in camp, so that could change. But as of right now, Claypool is doing his thing. See, Claypool got to stay healthy. I think putting on pads is going to help him tremendously. I don't think he's really been hurt that much. I think he had like a lower leg injury early, but it wasn't not early in Buffalo. But I think, no, in Buffalo right now, he's got like an ankle contusion or something like that. But overall, he's been healthy for most of his career. I'd rather have Claypool, you and I both. So glad Trubisky is our backup. You and I both, because I think he fits the Josh Allen mold way better than Kyle Allen and way better than Matt Barkley. I think he's probably the most like our starter, and I think that's important. You want to be able to have a guy who can run the same offense. So I think that if something happens to Josh, we have, you know, three or four games that Josh is missing, then Josh's seat will be kept warm and in good hands. Coleman 6'4", Holland 6'4", MVS 6'4", Shorter 6'4". Shorter is actually 6'5". Claypool 6'4". If we get any combo of these guys come together, or these guys together, that's a huge wide receiver room. Not only that, but it's beneficial to blocking. If you're on a run play, and it's like a sweep or a stretch play, and you got those trees out there blocking guys, man. I mean, Diggs was an okay blocker. But Gabe Davis was obviously better, and he was 6'2", 225. You're talking about Keon Coleman, 6'4", 220. Talking about Mac Hollins, 6'4", 230. Talking about Claypool, 6'4", 240. Talking about Shorter, if he makes the team, 6'4", 240. MVS, well, I don't think he's going to make the team. He's only 205, 206. He's not really known as a blocker like that. But, yeah, blocking-wise, this is right here is it. And I think that's why they're going to go big for at least half of the receiver room. If they keep six receivers, I think that three of them are going to be, you know, the 6'3" plus guys. I think that Coleman's actually like 6'3" and a quarter, so that's why I say 6'3". But yeah, best QB Chase has had. Yep, since Ben Roethlisberger, and Ben Roethlisberger was in the later years of his career. His instincts were still good, but his body was not. So these guys could make a pretty good basketball team. They could. You'd be playing small ball, but nonetheless. Still could be a basketball team. In my opinion, this was the strategy for this offseason. I agree. I think so. I agree. But will Claypool make the team? I think that it's between him and MVS, and as of right now, yes, it looks like Claypool is going to make the team. See, defenses won't know what's coming at them. The unpredictability of not having a number one has its benefits. It's true. I mean, look at Kansas City last year. They won a Super Bowl without one. Their number one was a tight end. It looks like Buffalo is going to have a similar strategy. So, yeah, I'm with you there. All right. So, we're moving on to the next guy. And that is Marquez Valdez-Scantling. And so, I'm being totally honest in all my reviews here. I'm only reviewing the information that's been given. I'm reviewing, you know, what the beat writers have said and what the people who have been in the stands, you know, the fellow Buffalo Bills content creators who are in Buffalo, including guys from Built in Buffalo who have already commented on him. And so making some plays with the second team, but struggling a little bit with the first. He and Chase appear to be in battle, but it's too early to call. He has connected with Trubisky better than he has with Josh. And so I ran out of characters there.
For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Cleveland Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.
He has been connecting with Trubisky better than he has with Josh. I don't know if that's because he has better his better connection with Trubisky, or it's because he's playing lesser competition. My guess is the latter, is that he's playing against lesser corners, and so because of that, he is playing better in that instance. I think that Marquez Valdes-Scantling has an uphill climb to make this team. I do like his skill set, you know, with being able to get deep. But the question is Marquez Valdes-Scantling going to be able to learn his playbook and get ahead of Chase Claypool? As of right now, I say no, but things change and they change fast sometimes. Things change and they change. Look at DeMar Hamlin, first day starting safety, and then the next day Edwards, and the next day was Bishop. Like, we all were like, oh snap, Hamlin's starting safety, and then changed real quick. Now we don't know. And so as of right now, Marquez is on the out, in my opinion, because Keon Coleman, Mac Hollins, Chase Claypool. Those are your three big man receivers, and I think the other guys will be speed guys who can play multiple spots on the offense, and I think the last spot will be a returner-type guy, like an Andy Isabella, like a KJ Hamler. Thus far, I am not impressed with Marquez Valdes-Scantling. See, less pressure on JA17 to throw the ball to anyone in particular without a mouth in his ear on the sidelines. True that. And the thing is, that mouth wasn't on the sidelines. That mouth was in the huddle with him. So, yeah. He might be done. What type of money we got to swallow? So, Marquez Valdes-Scantling contract. That's a good question. I'll go ahead and pull that up. Let's see. MVS. I have another screen up there. Nice little 55-inch TV to show me what's up. See, Marquez Valdes-Scantling contract. He signed a $2.656 million contract. Contract value is $2.25 million. His valuation was $2.65, but he got $2.25 annual per year with the Bills. He's got a bunch of void years. Let's see if we cut him. It would be post June 1st. We wouldn't save anything. We'd have to pay him $1.35 million this year, and we'd eat dead cap money next year for $6.75 million. One second, guys. All right, I'm back. But yeah, it's not that much money to swallow. It's there, but it's not there. MVS, very impressive career, unimpressive career. Even with All right, sorry about that, guys. Son had some important news to tell me. But a very unimpressive career, even with Rodgers and Mahomes. Don't think that I'll change with Josh Allen. Look, he's done a great job selecting quarterbacks. He hasn't done a great job producing for them. He's had some decent years. He had, a 800-yard year with the Chiefs his first year there, but stumbled after that. So, yeah, we'll see. See, MVS doesn't play on special teams, and Chase has played both. He does play both, as does Mac Hollins. So, yeah, I agree. 1.35 if cut. Yep, okay. I'm with you there. How's Curtis Samuel doing? He's doing excellent. He's doing excellent. You might have to go back and watch the video from earlier, Bobby, because I already covered him. He was like the second wide receiver I covered. And so I can't go back because time is of the essence. See, I think 50% of Josh's interceptions was jump balls, so these big guys going to make huge difference. I think so too, yeah. Especially going from small guys like Deonte Hardy to Mac Hollins, yeah. Yeah. No, my wife wasn't yelling at me. My son was yelling at the dogs, and her name is Luna. She's one of my dogs. I have four, but apparently one of them had an accident, and so my son was not happy. He's got to clean it up real quick. MVS hurt the Bills in the playoff game. He did, but that's like one of the only times he did any kind of damage. So take that with a grain of salt. But next wide receiver, Tyrell Shavers. Now, we haven't heard a lot about him, but we've heard some decent stuff. He's a good blocker and scored in red zone drills. Not sure he's ready to make the roster this year, but it's not for lack of effort. Seems like a high effort player. But we will see. He's a high-effort guy, and he's also gotten some reps with the first team. And he's produced in reps with the first team, unlike Marquez Valdez-Scantling. Tyrell Shavers has done more with the first team in this training camp than has Marquez Valdez-Scantling. I'm not saying that. I think that he gives him a better shot to make it. But, yeah, he's a guy who is going to have to deal with potentially not making it because of Chase Claypool. But if he comes back on the practice squad and something happens to a Chase Claypool, or if something happens to Mac Hollins, or if something happens to Keon Coleman, you have another big 6'4" guy on the practice squad who can come in and take over for that one big guy who fell. I really like Tyrell Shavers for the practice squad. If he can win a job in camp and the preseason, cool. But he's going to have to beat out Chase Claypool. He's going to have to climb the ladder. And so I do like him over MVS as well so far, because he's actually been productive. He's actually gone out there and done the freaking job. Tyrell Shavers has grown every year. Excuse me, I had a little bripsy. But he's grown every year. Give me some lemon water. And I think that should not be something that's looked down upon. He's a receiver who has been here, and I expect to see a lot of him in the preseason. He's going to have to prove his way onto the roster, but I have been impressed, especially for where he started and where he's gotten. See, Shavers plays special teams in college also. Yes, he plays it. He's played it in the NFL, you know, when he's been called up. So I like Tyrell Shavers. I'm praying that we can get him on the practice squad, but someone might try and scoop him up like they did Isaiah Hodgins. He gives me a lot of that vibe. Just, you know, I think he's a little faster, but let's go. So I bet you $500 Allen makes the 53. All right. Nope, not taking that bet. All right, so we're going to go ahead and see. I think he makes a 53-man roster because Chase Poole seems to get banged up every practice. We'll see what happens. If that's the case and he beats out Chase Claypool, then I think he also beats out MVS, and we'll see how that goes. But I don't see that as of right now. But we'll see what happens. So the next wide receiver on the list is KJ Hamler. KJ Hamler. So he's made some plays and has worked with the first team. He's purely a speed option, though. He's that fast guy who is going to, you know, get you some first downs. But he can score some touchdowns, too, if he gets wide open, which is possible. But he's an Isaiah McKenzie type. I think he's got better hands than Isaiah McKenzie. He's faster than Isaiah McKenzie, but he gets hurt a lot. And he could make the roster as a wide receiver 6 or 7 if we go with 7. But I believe that wide receiver 7 spot, because, again, it is Coleman, Samuel, Shakir, That's 6'4", 6 foot, 6 foot. You go down and get a rung. Mac Hollins, Chase Claypool, or MVS, or Shavers. Your last guy is going to be another guy who can play special teams, either as a return man or as a teamer. And KJ Hamler has a good shot at that sixth or seventh spot. KJ Hamler is a return man. KJ Hamler ran a really fast 40, as I'm seeing in the comments, 4.27. He is a punt and kick returner. And when I watched him in Denver, I remember when he flipped out. I'm pretty sure it was him, flipped out on Russell Wilson. When Russell Wilson had his first year there and it all fell apart, and Nathaniel Hackett was their head coach, he was wide open in the back of the end zone, and Russell Wilson went somewhere else, and he ripped off his helmet, and he was pissed. He was so hot. He was so mad at Russell Wilson. He looked like he wanted to fight him because, like, you're messing with his career. I'm wide open. We lost the game, and this touchdown would have won us the game or tied it, and you threw it into traffic when I'm back here wide open. His afro was just poof, and his face was so angry. But I understand why. I understand why. And I think that he has the potential to make a big difference if he can stay healthy. And I think that he is potentially the perfect return man for us. Him and Isabella are really competing for that, probably. I haven't heard anything about Isabella yet, so I'm assuming Hamler has the... he's got the up on Isabella when it comes to making that roster spot. I think that KJ Hamler has a really good chance at making that sixth roster spot. I don't think anybody's talking about him, really. I've heard some things about him, so some people are talking about him, but he's not a big focus. But the return men normally aren't. They usually aren't. So I'm hoping that him or Isabella gets that role. But also there's, you know, Daquan Phillips on the defensive side of the ball, who is a return man as well from Penn State, who ran also a nice fast 40. And so there's more than just these two guys competing for that spot. We're going to see what happens. See, Ray Davis, kick returner, Hardy punt returner, just my guess. So remember, the punt return rule changed, and Matthew Smiley had a press conference today as well, special teams coordinator, and he stated today that the kick returner is going to be more like punt returner now because of the change in the rule. And because of the change in the rule, you're going to see probably smaller, faster guys, because if they can get past that first line of guys and you have a smaller, faster guy, they're gone. They're absolutely gone, like Kadarius Turpin for the Cowboys. So I think that Davis could be a guy who's back there. There's going to be two guys in the landing zone. But let's say it's a Hamler, Ray Davis, Hamler's probably going to be the guy going to return the kick. And Ray Davis will probably be the guy who's lead blocking. Dario Perez says, Hamler over Isabella. As of right now, I have to agree with that. See, no way in hell Isabella makes the team. As of right now, there is no way, right? As of right now, he's competing for potentially a practice squad spot. See, Davis will save the tread for RB2. I think so. I don't want to see him out there on kick returns. See, Davis fumbled today. Push-ups thereafter. Don't drop the ball with McDermott watching. I love that drill sergeant style of discipline. Get down and give me 50. See, how does the kicking rule work? So the kicking rule works like this. The kicker still kicks from the 35. Of the kicking team. Then you have the returning team and the coverage team lined up 5 yards apart on the 40 and the 35, I'm pretty sure. And then you have their two returners in the landing zone. So you have 9 blockers on the line, and you have 2 guys in the landing zone. Then if it goes into the end zone as a touchback, I believe it goes to the 35. If you kick it out of bounds, it goes to the 40. And if it doesn't make it to the landing zone, I believe it's also the 35 or the 40. There's a lot to it. I'll see if I can't pull it up real quick. Let's see, NFL kickoff rule. Here we go. So the ball is kicked from the 35-yard line. Safety kicks would be from 20-yard line, same as current rule. All kicking team players other than the kicker will line up with 1 foot on the receiving team's 40. So, yep, I was right there. Kicker cannot cross the 50-yard line until ball touches the ground or player in the landing zone or the end zone. The 10 kicking team players cannot move until the ball hits the ground or player in the landing zone or in the end zone. The receiving team will line up as follows. Set up 5 yards area from the 35 to the 30. So there's an area for them where at least 9 receiving team players must line up. At least 7 players with foot on the 35-yard line, restraining line, with alignment requires outside numbers, numbers to the hashes, and inside hashes. Players not on the restraining line must be lined up and set zone outside of the hash marks. All players in the setup zone cannot move until the kick has hit the ground or a player in the landing zone. A maximum of 2 returners may line up in the landing zone and can move at any time prior to or during the kick. So that's the rule. They watch an XFL game from 2-3 years ago. Yep, exactly. Too many freaking rules for the kickoff. Too confusing, not a fan. It's not really too many rules. It's just telling you what the alignment is. You know? Jesus, my nose is itchy now. What the hell? If the ball does make it to the landing zone, it has to be returned. Correct. Has to be returned. What's up, Joey? How you feeling? Joey. You answer him, Joey. So it's going to look like a rugby play. Kind of, yeah. I'm for it. I like it. But yeah, so your kick returner is going to look more like a punt returner of old. All right, so moving on. The next player on the list is Justin Shorter, which everybody, you know, wants to hear about Justin Shorter. He's made some plays. I heard he scored a touchdown in the red zone, but that's it. I expect him to be a practice squad candidate as of now. I don't necessarily expect him to make the practice squad because I think that if we cut him, which is what we have to do to put him on the practice squad, somebody else might try to scoop him up. I don't know who or why because he hasn't really been producing like that. He's made some plays, but he has not wowed anybody. And if anything, he's probably played himself off of this roster. If he makes the practice squad, cool. You give him some more time to develop. This man, though, is chiseled. He's like a Greek god statue, just shredded. But we need you to produce, man. Like, you can't just look good. You got to play good, right? Deion Sanders started there. You look good, you play good. You play good, or you look good, you feel good. You feel good, you play good. You're skipping some steps, man. You got to look good, feel good, and then play good. And play good is not working out for you. But I want it to, though, because you're a big guy who's got high potential but a low floor. And so I would like to see more ceiling than floor. But you got to do it. You got to live it. You got to study. Like, go sit with Keon and holler at him and see what he's doing. I really do like Shorter's ability. But you gotta produce. You got to do it. And he's just not doing it right now. This is probably going to be my shortest one. A, because of time. And B, shortest one. A and B, because there's just not a lot to talk about here. Like, there's not a lot to say about Justin Shorter. As you see, he's the shortest description I've given. And it's because Justin Shorter has not produced on any level, really, for the Bills yet. Last year, he was hurt, and they stashed him on IR. Because his injury probably wasn't something that warranted IR, but they put him on there, so he had to stay on there for the whole season. And that gave him a chance to, you know, sit down and learn for a year, but I don't know if it's sticking. We'll see what happens. But I'm hoping for him, but I can't promise you anything. And so I'm going to go ahead and pull this up for wide receivers before I pull up the next thing. Today in practice, MVS saw 0 first team reps. Right, and that's from every source I saw. I watched today. I watched Cover One. Today I watched Buffalo Plus. I watched WGR. I watched all of them, and all of them confirmed MVS saw no first team reps. But Tyrell Shavers, Chase Claypool, and KJ Hamler all did. And the first one I saw was Joe Marino in Lockdown Bills. That's why he's on here. And Lockdown Bills, love watching that guy. I think he's very knowledgeable. I think he's good at scouting, and I think that potentially, you know, I would like to work with him one day, you know, have him on the show or be on his, you know, if he has a guest. So if anybody has a good word with Joe Marino, put one in for me because I really do like that guy. Let's see. No wide receiver one. No one knows who Allen's throwing to. That's a fact, Jacob. That's a fact. I don't know if there's no number one wide receiver. I think that Keon Coleman could be that guy, but I also don't see them forcing him the ball, right? He's a rookie, so if the rookie is your number one wide receiver, you're not going to force him the ball. You're going to make him earn his targets. And that's actually kind of brilliant to me, because that's kind of how Sean McDermott wants to operate anyway. You know, he wants you to earn all your targets. And I think that if you raise up your number one receiver from rookie status to know that he's going to have to earn every target, he's going to earn every target. He's going to go out there and do it. Now, we've gotten through all of the wide receivers. Excuse me. Jesus. I'm hungry. I haven't eaten since breakfast, so I think that's why I'm like this. But I'm trying to eat less, you know. I'll get some of this izzy gut to go away. But the next guy we're going to talk about, obviously, Dalton Kincaid. Tight end extraordinaire. I don't have a long description for him because there's not a lot to say. He's doing exactly what we think he's going to do. He catches everything thrown his way. Clearly seems to be taking a leap this year. He's going to be taking a big step this year. Most likely the most targeted player on this team. He has the most targets of any player that's currently on the roster that played for us last year with 90, I believe it was. And he's only going to get better. I'm really happy with the things I've heard about him. I'm really happy with his route running ability. I'm really happy with his ability to change directions and to change up his speed. And I really do like the fact that Dalton Kincaid has been highlighted in the offense. Justin Shorter could be a trade candidate. Okay, yeah. And Jeff B says, waste of a draft pick. So disappointed in him. He's a fifth-round pick, you know? Like, once you get to the fifth round, you hope that they can stick, but you just never know. See, what's the chances we go 20-0? Highly unlikely. Look, I'd rather go 10-7 and win a Super Bowl than, you know, 19-1. So I'd rather lose one or two in the regular season, just so you know, you have that feeling before. Look at the Patriots when they were trying to go 19-0. It didn't work out for them either. So I think it's a low chance. And if we go 19-0, we're in the Super Bowl. I mean, granted, chances go way up, but I don't think it's high at all. See, Alex of Batavia Daily News had Joe Marino on today. Awesome. Well, I like seeing the collaborations, because that means if they're willing to collaborate, I have a chance. See, zero chance. All right, there you go. See, Kincaid's my man. See, Dalton is a dog. That's right. Yeah, we have a tough schedule. I don't necessarily agree with that. And I'll tell you why, Bobby. If you look at the schedule, Cardinals should be a win. Dolphins, we always beat the Dolphins. We've lost them like once, maybe twice in the last 5 years. Jaguars. Well, we see the Jaguars now in Buffalo in the evening. I don't think it's a problem for us this year. I think that the Jaguars are going to be dealt with. At Baltimore, that's a problem. Right? That's going to be tough. Their defense is really good. I'm not scared of Lamar at all. Our defense knows how to deal with him. Sean McDermott knows how to deal with him. It's going to be a low-scoring game, I think. I had us losing the game in my record prediction, but that could be a win. That game could go either way. Houston, that's a problem. They're a good up-and-coming team. Don't know what that's going to do. So that's three teams I believe that we should beat, two teams that we will have trouble with. The Jets. I don't see us having too much trouble with the Jets this year. Not Bobby Ravage, but Joe Brady is our coordinator. Last year, under Dorsey, it was a freaking mess. When we played him again, we beat him like 30-7 or something like that, 30-6. We mollywopped him. It wasn't close. All right. And so if Aaron Rodgers is what he is, then we'll see. But yeah, I'm not sure. Hang on, I wasn't done yet. We go to the Titans, or we host the Titans. We should win that game. At Seattle, that's a tough one, but I think we should beat them. Geno Smith has not been the same since his offensive coordinator left for Tampa last year, and then he made Baker Mayfield look great, and then now he's the Panthers head coach, Contreras or something like that. I expect us to beat the Seahawks. Okay, it's a 4 p.m. game, so the jet lag shouldn't be too crazy. I think the Bills win that game. Play the Dolphins again. Again, we always beat the Dolphins, and this time they're coming to Buffalo. We serve them up twice again this year. At the Colts, depends on what Anthony Richardson does, but I'm not really worried about the Colts. The Chiefs, we've beaten them 3 years in a row in the regular season. The problem is the playoffs. Is a tough game, though. That's when that could give us a problem. So I'd say there's six games that could give us a problem. Three in the AFC, three in the NFC. bye week. We play the Niners. We haven't lost off after a bye week since Sean McDermott took over. Should be a win, but could be a loss. It is in Buffalo. They are a West Coast team leaving the West Coast to come to the East Coast. They always have a hard time with that. West Coast teams come to the East Coast. And then in Buffalo in December after the bye week. Enough said. There's a, like all those factors lean Buffalo's way. See, then we have the Rams. I think that that's one way that we lose. We go to the Rams. Same thing, East Coast team going to West Coast. It's a, that's a tough one. And if Stafford's healthy and those receivers are healthy, Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua, it's going to be a problem. Then we have at the Lions. That's a tough one, too. We could win or lose that game. Jared Goff has been improving recently. Amon-Ra St. Brown, excellent. That tight end that they just drafted, freaking Sam Laporta, excellent. And their defense has been improving. Like Jack Campbell, Branch, that D-line, like they're a problem. And then the last three games, I think we win those last three games. We got the Patriots, the Jets, and the Patriots. I'm not worried about any of those. We might even like drop one if our record is good enough to where we don't need to leave in that last game and we already have the number one seed locked up. Cool. And if we don't, then we play it and we try and get a better seed. But I don't think that that's going to be something that's too crazy. So again, I have the Bills going somewhere between 12-5 and 14-3. I'm in that range. All right. So you're saying there's a chance? No. No, I'm not. But Dalton Kincaid's doing exactly what we expect him to do. I'm eating right after this. Jesus. Last guy, Dawson freaking Knox. So he appears to be fully recovered, guys. He's making plays out there. He's having an excellent camp. He's catching balls down the middle. He's playing in line mostly. I think you'll see some of him out the backfield as well. He's going to move around, but I think Kincaid will be moving around far more because Kincaid can play in line. He can play the F. He can play the X. He can play the Y. He can play at the backfield. You'll see Kincaid move around more. But Dawson Knox will be more your traditional inline tight end. He'll be some in the backfield. And on occasional, you'll see him in the slot. But Kincaid will be the guy you see move around much more. Him and Kincaid have looked excellent. Dawson Knox and Kincaid have looked excellent throughout camp. And I think that you're going to love what you see out of these two tight end sets under Joe Brady, unlike what we saw under Ken Dorsey. I think Knox, as Roy Collins says, needs to stay healthy. That's true. Last year he broke his wrist, which isn't really something that I would say is much of a worry this year. You know, if he tore his ACL, I'd be very worried. But because it was like, you know, it was a broken wrist, I broke my wrist and I was fine after 3 months. He should be fine by now. And last year, towards the end of the season, he looked a lot better. He wasn't used as much. He was used more sparingly because he just come back from the broken wrist. But I think that this year he's going to have something to prove. I think he's going to have something to prove and he's going to be happy to prove it. He's going to be happy to prove it. Now, we're going to go ahead and boom, remove that. Get my pretty smiling face back on the screen. I ain't pretty, I know. You ain't got to tell me. I ain't pretty, I know. So now we've discussed all the receivers, and I'll go over some camp battles that I'm hearing about. And the big one is safety. Like the Taylor Rapp seems to have locked up that safety room. He seems to have taken over as the de facto leader of the safety room. When Poyer and Hyde left, he stepped up big and he's decided that he's going to be the man in the safety room. Again, Taylor Rapp seems to have locked up that safety room. And since he's locked up that safety room, the guy next to him is the conversation. Damar Hamlin, Mike Edwards, and Cole Bishop have all gone and started at safety since then. And now, after a press conference, McDermott said that it's a difficult defense to understand. That's why he brought in veterans in Jordan Poyer and Micah Hyde when he did. And now he's got a rookie who's going to have to learn on the fly. But he's going to have packages where he's in there because he still can use his skill set that he's bringing from college, especially blitzing. And so that second safety is where this conversation is going. I'm hoping that the rookie wins because that means that we get more production out of a guy that we invested more into. But I also wouldn't be mad if Hamlin or Edwards wins it, I want the best man to win it, but I would hope that the best man is our rookie. That's where I stand. Now, defensive tackle is going to be another sleepy one, right? It's going to be another one that we sleep on a little bit. You know, you have your top two guys, Daquan Jones and Oliver. They're guaranteed. Dwayne Carter's not going anywhere. He's a third-round pick. It's after that, right? Who's our second one technique? It's probably going to be Austin Johnson, who we got from the Chargers, who didn't play very well last year, but it's understandable. He was on the Chargers. That team was abysmal. I'm doubting that their spirits were very high, right? Why would they be? They were getting thrashed. They fired their head coach in the season. And I don't know, I just wasn't impressed with them at all. I'm pulling up the Buffalo Bills depth chart on ESPN right now because the Bills don't have one up yet. You know, they don't put one up until they, you know, go preseason. And so defensive tackle, Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, Austin Johnson, and Dwayne Carter. And that's how I saw it. Then third team, Eli Onwuka, Deshaun Williams, and then Branson Dean, who I know nothing about. Oh, no, he's there. So Branson Dean's out there as a fourth team defensive tackle. If we keep four, Deshaun Williams might be on his way out. But if we keep five, Deshaun Williams is a guy you can see, you know, who's that fifth guy, that Puna Ford, who doesn't, you know, get activated on game days unless something happens to Ed Oliver or to Dwayne Carter. If one of those guys is down, then you'll see a Deshaun Williams in there. Let's see. When's your next roster projection? I'll probably do it closer towards the end of camp. Like, I want to get through camp before I do another one of those. See, punter. Punters is one that's in competition right now. I heard that Jake Browning has been doing some holding now. The word was he wasn't, and so people were like, Sam Martin's probably going to be the incumbent, and we stash Jake Browning on the practice squad. I think that's a terrible idea because the word is out on him. People are saying that, we're trying to hide him like the Patriots did Corey Bohorquez. I don't think so. I think the word on Jack Browning is out there. I think that Jack Browning is a guy who potentially could win that punter spot. And if he does, well, it's bye-bye Sam Martin, who's probably going to retire after that. But I think that we have a guy who has a serious leg. And again, in college, he held for his kicker. He was a place kicker to start, and then he held later on. I think that potentially that's a good spot there. But to go back to defensive tackle, I think that if we keep five, it's Daquan Jones, Ed Oliver, Austin Johnson, Dwayne Carter, and Deshaun Williams. We could only keep four, but they like to keep five usually. I mean, last year they kept Ed Oliver, Daquan Jones, Jordan Phillips, Tim Settle, and Puna Ford. So five is their magic number, usually at defensive tackle. It's also usually their number at defensive end, unless they can stash somebody on injury reserve or the practice squad. Defensive end's another one. After the starters, Russo and Epinesa, you have Dwayne Smoot, who's coming on in camp. I was not big on him coming in because last year wasn't that good, although last year he came off injury. So I should check myself before I wreck myself because Dwayne Smoot, he's been doing his thing from what I hear. Pumped up to hear about Dwayne Smoot. Von Miller is a lock to make the team. Obviously, they can't cut him because of the money that we lose. We put us over the cap. But Dwayne Smoot, he may have won himself that fourth defensive end, you know, that strong side defensive end. I'd say the last spot, if we keep five, is between Tuhill. Well, it's obviously between Tuhill, Klein, Jonathan, and Solomon. But I think that Kingsley Jonathan, who made the roster last year, his roster spot might be in trouble. I love the guy, though. He went to Syracuse, my guy there. But Casey Tuhill is a big motor guy, just like him. So those two guys are in direct competition, I think. Javon Solomon, they may try and stash on the practice squad. But it's going to be hard because he had 16 sacks in college. It's going to be hard to stash him. So he could be the de facto number five defensive end that we keep. And Cameron Klein, we've been able to keep on the practice squad. So it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard. But we'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. Another camp battle is going to be on the offensive line. Right? You have four of them set, right? Osiris Torrance, Spencer Brown, Connor McGovern, Deion Dawkins. But that left guard spot, David Edwards, is the de facto starter right now. But you have Alec Anderson, right? You have other guys like Tylan Grable, and you have Cedric Van Granger, who can probably play both guard and center, fighting for that spot. So that's going to be a contested spot, even though I think that David Edwards has the edge on that. Those are the other camp battles, really. Linebacker, I think, is pretty cut and dry. Milano, Toro, Bernard, and Dorian Williams are your guaranteed guys to make the roster. After that, I have Deion Jones, Nicholas Moreau fighting for a spot. Those two guys are going to be fighting for like the veteran after spot, that A.J. Klein spot. And then I think Adefuan Ulifosio is going to be given every opportunity to make this roster. So he was smart to get rid of Morris. Which Morris are you going to have to tell me? Oh, Mitch Morris. Mitch Morris. Remember, it's Morse, not Morris. M-O-R-S-E, Jacob. Like Morse code. I think so because we saved a bunch of money. And saving a bunch of money like that, we were able to go and get some other guys to help out. Like the Edwards is. We were able to re-sign Taylor Rapp. Like that money really helped this roster out. And he's only got 2-3 years left in his NFL career. Sometimes it's smarter to cut ties. And he even knew before. He was like, look, if they decide that they're going to let me go, then I understand it's a money thing, not a me thing. And he's right. Like, if he was getting paid less, we definitely would have kept him. But it is what it is. See, I think playing a tough schedule will keep the team more focused and together. Perfect recipe for everyone eats mentality. Just when I agree with that right there. I missed that comment, but I'm glad that I saw it. Let's see, what else? Is there any other positions that I think? Corner is one that's interesting, right? Because you have Christian Benford and Rasul Douglas as your incumbents, but Kyir Elam is getting a lot of first-team reps, and he's playing very well. But after that, with Marcus Ingram, Kenny IH Lovely, and Kyren Brown, all competing for that, you know, fifth cornerback spot, or fourth cornerback spot, then you have Taron Johnson and Daquan Hardy competing, or not competing, but being your nickel guys. Daquan Hardy being in direct competition probably with Cam Lewis, who's a safety slash nickel. They're not giving him a real position, according to Bobby Babbage Jr., so that's a spot that could be, you know, really under fire. So we'll see what happens, guys. But, guys, this has been my show. I appreciate you guys being here. Training camp has been so interesting and enlightening, and I'm happy to be able to talk to you guys about it. Do we have an emergency QB? Yes, Shane Buesel is our emergency QB. But, yes. I love the phrase everybody eats because it's a team, not a one-man show. Never has been, but it felt like it could be at sometimes. And, yeah, I'm glad that's it. See, when your GM puts the team in cap hell, unfortunately, you have to release starting caliber players to create cap space. That's both true and necessary, right? Every team goes through that. It happens. You know, you build a team. You're trying to compete for a Super Bowl. You either succeed or you fail. Most teams fail. And you fall back a little bit and you rebuild. You know, you rebuild back the spots where you had to get rid of guys. So you got rid of Diggs, you got rid of Davis, you got rid of Morse, you got rid of Tre'Davious White, you got rid of Micah Hyde, you got rid of Jordan Poyer, you got rid of, you know, those defensive linemen who weren't doing so well. You get rid of, you know, players who feel like dead weight and sometimes guys who are starting caliber, and you bring in new guys who are, you know, not. My man John Roberts says Tecori Couch is competing too. I don't know much about him. I haven't heard much about him, but if he is, then good luck to him. If he does win the job, hey, awesome. You know, I'm not biased towards one player or another. I'm biased towards the Bills. I'm biased towards the Mafia. Let's go, baby. But yeah, Tecori Couch, if he's competing too and he's doing a good job, I wouldn't be mad if he makes the team over anybody, just as long as he earns the spot. That's my thing. Is like this. I love this coaching staff, and I love this general manager because they're about making you earn it. And so that's where I'm at with that. And so this is the end of the show, and you guys got me to talk a little bit more, but it is Go Bills. It is Go Bills Mafia. It is I'm excited about training camp. I cannot wait till next week so I can go through more of it. Cannot wait till my birthday, watch the first preseason game from the nice comfort of my man cave here. And I don't know who's doing postgame for the preseason, but could be me. I don't mind doing postgame on my birthday. So we'll see what happens, guys. It's Go Bills. I love you. God bless you. Enjoy that outro.
For limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply. For a limited time at Verizon, you can get our best price ever for a single line. Just $45 per month when you bring your phone, which is less than you spend on too tired to cook takeout every week. Get one line on unlimited welcome for $45 per month with AutoPay plus taxes and fees. Visit your local Columbus Verizon store by April 2nd to save. $20 monthly promo credits applied over 36 months with a new line on unlimited welcome. In times of congestion, unlimited 5G and 4G LTE may be temporarily slower than other traffic. Domestic data roaming at 2G speeds. Additional terms apply.